Life is a journey. What's your story? I'm Nanette Weiser, and I'm news director of Radio St. Pete. I am here to introduce you to someone you've met before, Stephen Reardon. He's an actor, director, producer, and casting director. And Erica Sutherland. She's a multi-hyphenate filmmaker, writer, theatrical director, producer, and the new artistic executive director of Studio 620. Stephen, hello, how are you? And let's just launch our first podcast.
It's so exciting to be here. Thank you so much for having me back, Nanette. Thank you for your interest and your excitement in doing this project. I'm really excited to be here. And I'm here to talk to a new friend, but a good friend already, Erica Sutherland, who I met just recently because I was part of the cast of Bob Devin Jones' last show at the studio at 620 as the producing artistic director, and that was a production of Hamlet. And Erica was there, and it was so exciting to meet you because, you know, you're one of those people that you're in the community here in St. Pete. You hear these names, and you think, God, why have I never met her yet? And then here you are, and you're just been awesome to meet, and it's been so nice to just talk to you about arts and the community and what we need to do here. So welcome and thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. I am super excited. First of all, I'm just super excited about our budding friendship,
totally.
our creative journey. So thank you so much for just the opportunity, taking the time and asking, you know, and saying, hey, can we sit down and talk?
For sure. You know, the asking is one of those things that is very important and necessary to do for things like this. But you work at a place now. You are the queen of the studio at 620 right now. And I think what's great about that place is when you ask, historically at the studio, when you ask, the answer is yes. And it's really been one of those things that artists like me for the last 20 years have walked into that building hoping for partnership, and they get it. And it's so amazing. And to have you continue that trajectory of openness and welcome is really exciting.
Absolutely. You know, when we think about our own artistic journeys, right, we've always had to have someone open the door for us, the pathway for our journeys to continue. So it just brings me great honor. One of the things that I love doing is taking emerging artists, professional artists, semi-professional artists, and giving them the opportunity to expand and travel their journey, even when it's unknown. They don't know what it's going to look like, but they know they have an idea. And I love to be that person that gives them the support, the access, and the avenue.
I think that's what makes you such a perfect person to be the next, you know, leader of what we're doing at the studio, because it is one of those places as an artist here, and I've been an artist here in St. Pete for many years. I grew up here. I love it. I love the community. I love the theater community. But it is one of those things where when you don't feel safe enough to try, especially when you're young or right out of school, it's almost like you're stifled. You don't know where to go with these things you want to do. And if you don't have a place to go, even if you have great teachers or even if you have, you know, great experiences, if you don't have that place to go and try, especially when you're young, that budding, you know, interest starts to wane. And that's what was so special to me about the studio in the beginning of my career. And it continues, you know, and I think your hope for it as we continue to move forward is just your vision of it is really, really awesome.
Oh, yay. Thank you for that. You know, you talked about young people or that gap between graduating from high school or from undergrad or even your grad program, right? And the question is, what's next? And or if you're an artist that just relocated to an area, you're trying to figure out how to get in, what's next, what do I do? And so I think that the studio was a great place for that. And one of the ideas that I have been creating, and we're developing it as we speak, is my Arts at Work program.
I love this program so much. We were talking about it earlier, and I was like, I cannot wait to get in the studio and talk about this.
Yeah, so it's in development. So my goal is to take those recently graduated artists, especially the design majors and the technical majors, and give them an area or a platform to come and continue their education, but also give them their first job, right? Their entry level work. And at the studio, what we do is, because we are such a unique organization, right? The days change from what's being performed there to the next day is always different. It allows and forces you to have to constantly be innovative and creative. So bringing those young people or just emerging artists, I don't want to call, because I don't want to discredit anyone that's over the age of 25 and think that I'm not talking about them.
Sure.
Because I'm talking about all artists that's looking for that what's next. So bringing them into that program, giving them the opportunity and mentorship to have their first, you know, their first design gig that's outside of their educational experience to help build that portfolio. And then the next goal would be is to have then to have that work and bring in other theaters or just help them with their next job placement. And we also have to start to train these emerging artists and young people and emerging artists to think outside of theater. So they go through the program is normally a theatrical program, right?
Right.
So we are trained to think about theater. But the tools that we have been given, they stretch far beyond the theatrical landscape. They can go into creative producing. They can go into creative technology. They can go into so museum work. Mm. They can go into so many different places, but they had their minds have not been introduced to that those concepts and ideas, and we have not expanded and stretched that and allowed them to really know that that's possible.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like theater has got a... There's a definition of that word, but if you've ever been in a theater program, you start to see that it does have elastic. There's other things you can do than just be on stage, and that's what theater, so that's why it's so special to me, is that I have found my own voice working in this community, not just on stage, but with the artists that work with me, with the writers that work with me, with concepts and ideas that really are born out of that creative opportunity. And I have to say, I'm not the only person living in Florida right now. We all know the arts are being cut every single day. And if you're an artist, it's discouraging. And to be honest, a lot of people say, I'm not going to a state, or I'm not staying in a state that's going to take all the arts funding away. That's why places like the studio and people like Erica are so important in these communities, because they remind younger people or people that are just getting out of a program, you don't have to go to New York. You don't have to go to LA. You don't have to go to these places that people think that's the only place to go to create art. I mean, St. Petersburg, I said this last time I was here, Nanette, I can't think of a better sort of like mid-sized city like St. Pete that has the amount of art we have. And I just don't want it to go away.
So, you know, one of the things that I want to point out is that underrepresented voices, this is one of the things that Studio at 620 has done. Erica, could you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're going to be doing to develop programs that are coming up in this next fall and winter season?
Absolutely. So the wonderful thing is probably next month we will have my season announcement. And so two things you said in there, underrepresented voices. And then you said something earlier to me that I really loved. And we talked about seeking out those voices or those people that haven't had the opportunity to be illuminated. And I find that so interesting as a woman of color, dealing and always tend to be traversing inside of the underrepresented community. I think that it is important for me as a representative, as a black woman, as a woman of color, as an artist of color, as an entrepreneur of color, to make sure that I am making pathways to bring other artists and people of color along and enhance and give them a platform for their voice, their creative ideology and ideas. And so some of the things that we're doing, because so basically what we're talking about right now is this whole workforce placement, it's one of the pillars that Mayor Welch has, is that workforce. And so I'm really interested and engaged in that workforce, right? And how do we, like you said, maintain our workforce artists? We have to maintain, we have to keep our artists here. And not only do we have to keep them here, but if we're going to be illuminating these voices that haven't necessarily had the opportunity to illuminate, you know, because once we do that, right, then when we start talking about underrepresentation, we change the conversation. And that's the thing that for me at the studio that's important, is that Yes, my goal is to, first of all, I stand on great shoulders. And then someone has to come behind me, and hopefully I do the work so that then you can say, I too stood on, you know, I stand on great shoulders, like Erica's shoulders, and making that pathway for these less illuminated creatives to show up. But then taking those creatives, putting them back into the community, and so that they stay in the community, and not just those creatives, but all creatives, right? It is very important that we, especially in the world that we live in today, because we are so polarized, how do we have to begin to blend our conversations again, you know? For me, these are just my ideas and thoughts, right? I don't want to exist in a polarized environment. I want you to walk in into my space and feel like you are at home, like you have always done at the studio. But yes, I do take attention to and creating those pathways for our under-illuminated creatives.
I just want to mention that you were director of The Color Purple, and your take on that was very interesting. There's a lot of great response. Also, Passover by Antoinette Nwandu and Dutchman by Amiri Baraka, Leroy Joins. This is the kind of work that Studio at 620 does that other people are not doing. Can you give us a little bit of a peek into the fall? Just a peek.
Yeah, so that's some of my favorite kind of work. I love, 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 love. Erica, the artist, loves the opportunity to play around and journey and investigate works from people of color. So because I love that, and I have a playground now that I can continue to explore as an artist, because I still am an artist, even though I am the artistic executive director, I still do art. We're going to be, you know, celebrating some more of that stuff, like one of my first shows, so one of the shows that I'm very interested in is called The Light by Loy A. Webb. It's a two-person show. And it's just about, I can't give it away. I can't give it away because that's what the show is about. It just creates so much conversation, right? But you start to look at love, and we can say black love or just love, and you could put anybody in these roles, and the conversation that comes out from this moment where the guy is getting ready to propose to his potential fiance, and what happens in that proposal, right? And what comes out of that. So that's one of the things I have. So the studio itself will have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, aha, 4 productions this year. 3, what we would consider straight plays, 3 plays and a musical. The musical will close out our theatrical production season, but that does not limit us or stop us, because couple of other things that are happening is we are getting ready to partnership and incubate a new theater in the area, which I'm super excited about. I don't know if we're going to talk about that today while we're here, so I'm going to let that person say that if they choose to.
We talked about it a little bit the last time I was here, Nanette, is you know, I have some really amazing friends, and we've been really focusing on bringing a theater company to life. And one of the things that I think the studio is so beautiful at doing is giving people like us who maybe don't have exactly the right, we don't have a full plan yet, but we have these great seeds that are growing right now, right? And we need a partner, an incubator, to say, when you're ready, come to us. We will help you. We will create this with you. And, you know, the studio has always been that. That's what I think is so special about this place. And I don't ever want to see places like that be forgotten. And so Erica's inviting us and other companies like us to be partners with them, create with them, make art with them. It's so important to have those communities and those places to do that.
There are very few places anywhere in America that are doing this outside of the universities. Mm-hmm. Gibbs High School, let's give a shout out to Gibbs High School.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they are definitely doing this.
Yeah, I worked at Gibbs High School. I taught in Pinellas County Center for the Arts for 9 years. So I have a lot of art babies in the world doing great things, and they will always be my babies, even though some of them are 30. But yeah, they're doing fantastic things. I really enjoyed my 9 years there, and I love the artists that allow me to pour into them. And I love to see when they show up in the world. I'm just so excited to see what they're doing, where they are, how I can still participate in their artistic journey. So I wanted to talk about incubation, right? So it's unfortunate that a lot of our major incubator centers, the Humana Festival, things like that, have had to shutter their doors or change their programming or how they exist in the world, especially after the pandemic. And so what my goal is to like bring that type of incubator energy. It's always existed at the studio. That's the thing that I love about it. People keep saying, well, what is your vision for the studio? And I'm like, my vision for the it's not necessarily that my vision is changing from what the studio does. It's just that my creative energy is at the helm. So what you see in the space is different, but the vision of what we are doing is still the same. The vision of uplifting and supporting artists, cross-board, emerging, professional artists, wherever, is still the same. Our vision of lifting the community so that we can be one, still the same. I'm just leading.
Wow.
I think that's what makes you such a special, again, the next generation of the studio. I think Bob and I have spoken about this during rehearsals for Hamlet. We were talking about you, and I was saying I was so excited to meet you, and I said, how did she, get the gig? And Bob said, she was the one, because she understands this without having to talk about it, what it's for, why we're doing it. She was so universally sort of like selected by the board and by everybody, because you understand who we are and what we do at the studio. And Hamlet had about 80% of the cast was PCCA graduates. So Erica was like their den mom back there. It was so fun to watch it. And I was so jealous. I was like, man, if I could go back 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I'd be at PCCA and high school. You wouldn't be teaching, of course, but no. I would be there. So PCCA, the vibe there is pretty intense and lasts forever.
So, I want to point out that not only is Erica the executive director and she's a writer, artist, I mean, just like you, Stephen, she understands so many aspects of theater. But she's also, Ken Welch was a name to the Arts Advisory Committee in 2023, mm-hmm. and she is now the committee chair of the Arts Advisory Committee. Tell me a little bit, Erica, not about your vision, but what's going on there?
And on the committee?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's so cool. I get to be called Madam Chair.
Oh, that's nice.
Madam Secretary.
What I really love about the committee and who sits on the committee. So there, of course I can't talk about all the things, but I can talk about the energy that's there. I get super excited when I go sit in the meetings and we start talking about arts in St. Pete. Because I know that there really are a group of people that is listening to the community, that really truly want the arts and the community to grow, and all of the arts. And we are shifting how we show up in the community and what we are doing. And so I've been talking about shifting a lot lately, because everything is in flux. Everything is shifting.
That's true.
Yeah. So even in our committee, how we talk about arts, how we're supporting arts, we've had, the county and the city are both doing this cultural arts plan. And like, what does that look like? And not only what does that look like, but how are we accountable? Right. And so I get super excited sitting in the room, because I know even when I go out into the community and this is just part of life anyway, we can always hear people talk about, well, no one is talking about the arts. That's not true. I can guarantee and tell you that we are in there talking about the arts, talking about how do we secure the arts? How do we make it safe now? We don't, it's not that Erica doesn't have money in her pocket. So that's not, what the thing is. But we are actively, and I will stand behind them and in front of them and on the side of the committee. And I will say to the community, we are actively having conversations about the arts. And not only that, how do we activate it? And it becomes a physical thing.
Well, I want to thank Erica and Stephen for being here today. And if you want to know more about Studio at 620, go to the studio at 620.org. There is so much going on. We're going to have Erica back in to talk about the fall season with Stephen. Parting words, Stephen, Erica?
I just want to say thank you for being here, Erica, and also thank you for your vision. Thank you for your partnership, because without you in the studio, without places like that and people like you, the loudest voices in the arts community would be the ones trying to defund us. Mm. They're the loudest ones, right? We can't let them be the loudest ones.
Absolutely.
And you are such an amazing testament to how alive the arts are in St. Pete. So thanks for being here.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Radio St. Pete, just for the opportunity to have conversation.
Without a doubt.
And I'm so excited again about our journey. I'm so excited when you get to announce your season.
I know.
And one of the reasons why I not only because you're just a great human, but I am super stoked about your shows because we vibe on the same artistic level.
We do.
Oh my goodness.
We
it's going to be juicy. It's going to be juicy.
So as Maya Angelou would say, thank you both for being a rainbow in Radio St. Pete's cloud.
Thank you, Nanette.
Thank you, Nanette.